You're listening to Aged Care Insight Radio.
Hi everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. So one of the biggest changes that we saw come in through the Royal Commission was the government's commitment to minimum staffing standards, which was something that was very heavily pushed for in those 2 years. And a new research from the University of Technology Sydney is warning that only 3.8% of all providers will actually be able to meet these new government standards, which are set to come in by 2023. So today we are joined by the lead author of a new study that compared historical staffing levels in Australia. Dr. Nicole Sutton, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So your research had a look at the existing and historical staffing levels that we've seen in Australian aged care. First of all, could you tell us a little bit about that and how it has changed over the years?
Sure. So in Australia, the approved providers are regulated by the Aged Care Act. And within that act, it specifies that providers are required to have a workforce that is sufficient, and sufficient in terms of it being skilled and qualified and enough to provide quality care. But what sufficient means in terms of numbers has never been defined at a national level. There have been some minimum standards that apply for some facilities or some homes around Australia. So for example, Victorian and Queensland homes have been that are government owned and government run. They are subject to their own minimum standards. And New South Wales had some requirements around registered nurses, but that was a legacy requirement that has slowly been wound back. So up until the Royal Commission and then what's come since, there actually hasn't been a national minimum standard in terms of the minimum number of staff that should be in an aged care home.
And I'm curious to ask, is this something that we've seen overseas as well, or is this strictly in Australia that we haven't seen a national standard for staffing?
Yeah, so a lot of jurisdictions around the world, including the US and Japan, Germany, the UK, Canada, they have various different standards in play. So the US brought in requirements almost 2 decades ago about having, for example, and this was a national standard, having registered nurses on site. And then various different states within the United States have brought in additional requirements around, you know, specific, you know, how many minutes of care residents should be receiving. And, you know, likewise in Japan, they've got some around in terms of just a minimum staffing ratio. So there are actual minimum staffing standards in place in lots of countries around the world, though none of them particularly look the same.
And why do you think it took Australia so long to get to this place where we are looking at implementing kind of ratios? You know, what does the evidence say about that?
Well, in terms of perhaps the reluctance on one side, so the reluctance about bringing in standards, I imagine, comes from about this sense that, you know, having a one size fits all approach is probably not necessarily going to result in kind of the best outcomes in all circumstances. And so there has been some reluctance to bring in a minimum standard because we know that there's such variation in the sorts of care that's provided in lots of different kind of aged care homes. But the evidence, on the other hand, shows that minimum standards are actually really important. And we see this internationally. So, for example, in the United States, we can see when a minimum standard has been brought in, there has been, in general, an increase in the staffing levels. And that's really crucial because fundamentally, staffing in terms of having adequate and sufficient good quality staffing is one of the key drivers of having quality of care in aged care homes. And so without a minimum standard, then you run the risk that you're going to have circumstances where you don't have enough staff on hand, or you don't have enough staff that are licensed nurses on hand. And that can lead to some of the problems that we saw perhaps on display at the Royal Commission.
And in comparison to overseas and in general, you know, what are your thoughts on these new staffing standards brought on by the Royal Commission? Do you think that they are sustainable and realistic?
So I think first off, I just want to say I think they're positive. And we probably should talk about what they're going to be, right? So
absolutely,
what's coming down the line is from 2023, all aged care homes are going to be required to ensure that each resident receives, on average, at least 200 minutes of direct care per day. And of those 200 minutes, 40 minutes should be provided by a registered nurse. And then the third component is that there should be a registered nurse on site for the morning and afternoon shifts. So there's kind of three different hurdles that they need to clear. Now, within the standard, there is flexibility for it to be, those standards to kind of be adjusted depending on how complex residents' care needs are. So, for example, if a home has a lot of residents that have much more complex needs, they'll actually have to have higher levels of staffing, and a home that has residents that have lower care needs, then they will have less than those kind of those standards there. But by and large, that's what the standard is. And although it's going to require what we see as a significant step change in the amount of staff in aged care homes in Australia, if you look compared to the recommended levels that come from, say, the Centre for Medicaid and Medicaid Services in the United States, or our own researchers in Australia that are research coming out of the University of Wollongong, when they look at, okay, you know, top 5-star level staffing levels, this still is short of that. So it is a significant change and a significant increase, but I don't think it's unrealistic. And it's the levels, it's within the ballpark of the levels that are going to be required to ensure that all residents are able to enjoy adequate staffing levels to ensure both quality of life and quality of care.
And your recent co-research paper found that only 3.8% of Australian aged care homes would actually meet these new standards. Can you tell us a little bit about how you found that out and why that is?
Absolutely. So we were really interested to unpick, given that these new standards are coming in 2023, you know, how close were Australian residential homes, you know, now or at the time we did the study. And so what we did is we looked at the existing staffing levels within a sample of aged care homes. It represented about half the industry. And we looked at their staffing kind of characteristics, and we compared them to the standards that are coming in. And we looked at the degree to which they kind of cleared each of those three hurdles individually and then all three at once. So that 3.8%, that really small percentage of homes that are able to meet all three requirements, yeah, that's if they can meet all three of those different requirements I spoke about before. And then we could unpick, you know, which of the requirements seem to be the ones that are going to cause the most problems. So whereas I think it's almost 80% of our sample were able to meet the requirement about having an RN on site for those two shifts, it drops dramatically in terms of the percentage that could meet the requirements around daily care. I think it was about 10 or 11% for both, you know, having the 200 minutes of direct daily care and the 40 minutes of RN care. So, yeah, and then put it all together, then you've only got 3.8% that are doing all three.
And what are the reasons for that? Why was there such a big drop in homes that were unable to provide that full scale of care?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think partly it just has to do, if you think about the way the standard is formulated, I mean, having an RN on site, now that's actually quite difficult for a small provider. So if you're a very small facility, having an RN on site is actually quite a significant cost. But for most larger homes, having someone on site is something that, you know, most are able to kind of accommodate. The two requirements around daily care minutes, well, this is the one that really is going to require the big change in staffing because it's the one that you need to have enough care workers, be them personal care workers, enrolled nurses and RNs, and it goes up by how many residents you have. So I think that's just really exposing where the shortages are in terms of raw numbers, as well as the shortages in terms of licensed nurses.
And looking to the future in the next couple of years, you know, we've got what it's 2 years until these standards come into play. What are the biggest obstacles that we're seeing stopping homes from kind of moving towards this new standard of care?
So I think there's two things, and then one I think we probably need to keep an eye on. So the first two, it just comes straight from the standard. We have an issue in terms of staffing numbers, so just actually having enough aged care workers, and that being able to recruit and retain sufficient number of personal care workers, enrolled nurses and registered nurses. So, and there's a report from the Committee for Economic Development Australia, CEDA, and they have projected that we need to be growing the aged care workforce by 17,000 workers every year between now and 2030. So it's just, in one sense, the big challenge in terms of getting there is just getting enough aged care workers and hanging on to them too, because turnover and attrition is not only, it compromises the continuity of care, and it's not very good for quality of care for residents, but it also means that aged care organisations are having to spend more time recruiting, training, and then trying to hang on to their staff. So that's the first big issue, is just getting the staff numbers. The second issue is getting enough staff members that are qualified nurses. And so that's the standard around having an RN on site and having RN care minutes is going to require a significant increase in the number of registered nurses in aged care. And the thing that we're a little bit worried about is we can see the pockets that of the industry that are probably most going to struggle with that are going to be places such as regional and rural homes, and who potentially have less access to registered nurses there. So those are the two big things that are kind of top of the list: number of staff and number of qualified nurses. The other thing I think we just need to keep an eye on is we can't forget the other staff that are in aged care homes. One of the dangers we know that comes from international evidence is when you regulate, you have to have a certain number of particular staff or particular staffing role, that means that you might create a disincentive, or you have to deprioritize the staff that you have in other roles. So what we're concerned about is potentially that aged care organizations who are having to, increase the number of care workers may have to deprioritize, social support, housekeeping, allied health, so those roles that are not part of the standards. And we would hate to see that sort of substitution effect, because those sort of staff are really important for quality of care as well.
And what kind of policy measures do you think that we need to be seeing to ensure that these providers, do have enough resources to hire more people and to make sure that they're hiring, this diversity of workers?
Yeah, so again, we go back to that CEDA report that came out earlier this year. And in terms of staffing numbers and hanging on to staff, clearly wages and working conditions is an immediate priority. And so there are two cases right now around the award rates for aged care workers that are before the Fair Work Commission. And those will be decided next year in 2022. And that's about potentially lifting the award rates, which I think is quite important, because we can see that there's actually quite a gap between the amount that aged care workers get paid compared to similar roles, but in other care industries such as disability support or in healthcare. And so ideally you're going to see at least aged care pay rates of all award rates become on par with those other sectors, so you're not losing staff that have those sorts of skills to other sectors. So there's that element. In terms of working conditions, there's a lot of workers have indicated that they are actually, in one sense, underemployed. So there is scope to not necessarily increase the number of staff, although I think we're going to have to do that, but also ensuring that the people who are working are getting enough shifts, that they are, they're working all the hours that they want to. So there's scope there to be able to increase the number of hours from the current staff. And then there's just in terms of funding. So we know that, how we're going to pay for all these extra staff. There will be more funding, and the government announced this with the budget earlier this year. There will be more funding to pay for staff that as the new funding model rolls out within aged care over the next few years. So the ACFI model is getting replaced with the ANAC model, and staffing will be encompassed around that. And so I'm not completely sure of the finer details, but one thing we want to make sure is there's sufficient money in that funding model to pay both for wages as well as for training. So those elements are probably the most important. In more general things, in terms of just ensuring we have enough qualified and skilled staff, is updating the qualification framework within aged care, and making sure that the qualifications framework provides a clear career path for workers within the industry and opportunities for them to progress and get more responsibility that are matched up against opportunities for training and development and progression as well. So those are probably kind of the big items there that are going to be really important in the next kind of 3 years or so.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to ask you, finally looking to the future, how urgent do we, there's obviously a lot of things that need to be done. How urgent do we need to see some changes being made?
Oh, it's critical. I mean, aged care is a service-based industry. Obviously, the bricks and mortar are important, but at the end of the day, it's people that are providing the care to the residents within aged care homes. And it's making sure that there's enough staff so that they are not under pressure, and making sure that there's enough staff that are qualified and enough registered nurses and enrolled nurses there. Otherwise, all we will see is a repeat of what has the sorts of instances that we saw at the Royal Commission. At the heart of aged care is around having a motivated, qualified, skilled workforce that can deliver high quality care and high quality life to older Australians.